few years back, there was a popular song by the country and western group Alabama called "I'm in a Hurry to Get Things Done." And the opening words were, "I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die, and I'm in a hurry and don't know why." And it kind of gives us the mindset that all we need to do is just exist and let's just get through it, and then we'll die, and that's really all we need to do is get through it. This is a good way to describe what happens during the season that we call Christmas. From the frenzy that we call Black Friday to the emails that we get that remind us that we only have two or three more days to save on certain sale items. The newspapers are full of inserts. The commercials on television just seem to step it up a notch. They're all designed to get the public whipped into the state of anxiety, believing that we all need that certain toy or that latest electronic device or video game in order to be happy. There's a certain sense of anxiety that happens every year about this time, and part of the reasoning for that is because Christmas, for many people, has become an event about formality rather than spirituality. And the result of that is lack of peace in our hearts, especially during the season of Christmas. The birth of the Savior of the world was not meant to create a season of anxiety. It was meant to bring peace to the world. And we're reminded in this hymn, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," that the angels announced peace on earth and goodwill to all on whom God's favor rests. And that peace, that peace that we all want deep down in our hearts and our lives, though we may not openly admit it, is really at the top of our list. And that peace is not something that we can give to one another. It's a gift that God gives to us through Jesus Christ. Paul was emphasizing this in Philippians chapter 4. He was emphasizing the importance of having a proper focus, which I think we need to be reminded of, especially at Christmas time. Now, if you know much about the church in Philippi, it was one of the better churches that Paul had established. He writes this letter of what we call Philippians, first of all, to give them thanks for their encouragement, their financial help that they had sent to Paul. He had reminded them of the fact that he was imprisoned in chains, and because he was in chains, he was able to advance the message in the setting that God had put him in. He was reminding them to imitate Christ's humility. He was telling them to shine like the stars. He wanted them to receive Timothy when Timothy came to them with this letter. He reminded them not to put confidence in the flesh, but in the spiritual. He told them he was pressing on toward the goal, that they were supposed to do the same, to continue to press on toward the goal that God has called them heavenward in Christ Jesus. And he says, "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that's how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." He speaks especially to two people here, Euodia and to Syntyche, telling them to agree with one another, to get along. Scholars believe that there was some misunderstanding between these two people. Paul reminded them that they needed to get along together. He reminded the rest of the followers that they were to help these women. And then he comes to the closing of his letter, in which he gives them what's called exhortations to lift them up, reminders to lift them up. And he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And this is important because he says it again, "Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to everybody, because the Lord is near," reminding them that the Lord is coming soon, that the Lord is near and could come at any moment, that they were to have an attitude of rejoicing and gentleness. And most important of all, he says, "Don't be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything." Other translation says, be anxious about nothing. I believe the original Greek, if I read it correctly, said, in nothing be ye anxious, I believe is how it goes. But he reminds them, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. Just simply give your prayers and your petitions to God with thanksgiving, thanking Him for what He's already done. Present them to God, and if you do this, the peace of God, which we can't even understand or imagine because it's so great, will guard you, guard your minds and your hearts in Christ Jesus. Now, the question is, what is this peace of God that he's talking about? And the answer is found in Luke's Gospel in the second chapter, when suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with this angel that had come to the shepherds, and the heavenly host was praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." There it is again, that peace. Peace to all on whom God's favor rests. What does that mean? And how are we to obtain that peace? Paul spoke about this peace in Romans chapter 5 when he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, in the eyes of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, we are justified. And since we have been justified, we have peace with God." We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the peace of God that Paul is talking about to the Philippians that we will have is peace knowing that we are justified in Jesus Christ. And that peace began at Bethlehem when Christ was born and given to the world, and the angels said, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on all on whom His favor rests." God's favor rests on those who have faith in Jesus Christ and are justified. And until the human soul is at peace concerning its relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it will never know peace in this world. I want to say that again, folks, because that is the foundation of the peace that the Bible says we can have in Jesus Christ. Until the human soul is at peace concerning its relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that relationship is justification. And until the soul is at peace with that, it will never know peace in this world. Paul reminded the Philippians later on in his fourth chapter, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice." In other words, I was an example of how you should act, what you should believe, what you should say. And the God of peace, remember, the God of peace will be with you. Now, if God is a God of peace, wherever God is present, there will be peace, because God is all-powerful and in charge of things. And I think we need to remember that. Because when anxiety sets in and we become anxious, we need to remember that God's in charge, God's all-powerful, that He's going to work it out according to His will and His way, that we are powerless, that we're not in charge, we're not in control. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. Rejoice. Say it again, rejoice. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And you'll know the peace of God. You might not be able to understand how it comes, where it comes from, but you will know that. Where God is not present, there will be anxiety. Webster's Dictionary defines anxiety as worry or uneasiness about what may happen. And I want to add to that, that it is also worry or uneasiness about what may not happen. And isn't that what we worry about? We worry about what might happen, and we worry about what might not happen. It's a no-win situation for us as human beings, isn't it? Because we're not in control. But it's a win-win situation when the Lord is present, because He knows what's not going to happen, and He knows what is going to happen. And if we trust in Him and present our petitions to Him and are thankful to Him and trust Him, we will find that peace knowing that God will work out His plan before us. We don't worry that the stores are going to be sold out of a certain gift and somebody's going to be disappointed. We don't worry about what's going to be under the Christmas tree on Christmas morning. We're at peace knowing that everything's going to be fine. That it's all going to work out. Christmases have come. Christmases have gone. Christmases will come. Christmases will go. Times will change. But one thing that will never change, can never be destroyed or removed from Christmas, is the gospel and good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what brings us peace at Christmas time. God is in control. And we are to have the proper focus, or we're going to be full of anxiety. As I struggled with this a little bit all week about this scripture, trying to really dissect it and know what it meant, know why Paul was saying it, know how it could be applied to us today during the season of Christmas, I found it a little more understandable through the New Living Translation, where Paul says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Always be full of joy in the Lord. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus." You see, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Shepherd of Shepherds was born, that we, His sheep, might know the peace that the Shepherd can bring to our lives, guarding us, our hearts and our minds, giving us love, giving us joy, and removing the anxiety, and giving us peace. You folks know I like to research some of the meanings of the original Greek text. And I found it interesting that this word peace is a lot different than what we think of today in our day and age. The word peace as originally used in the Greek text came probably from a primary verb which meant to join. To join. And it was implying prosperity. So when the Bible talks about peace, and it's the same word that the angels spoke, it's the same word that Paul used to the Philippians, when it talks about the peace of God, it is a prosperity of God that only comes through joining in that relationship through Jesus Christ. And I think that's pretty important. We think of it today as just simply a quietness or a lack of war, but it's so much more. It's so much more. Paul says, rejoice. Rejoice. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about what may not happen or what may happen. Just rejoice in the Lord and continue to pray to Him and lift up your petitions and thanksgiving to Him. And you'll know that peace. You'll be joined to Him and you'll know that prosperity through being joined in prayer and relationship with God. When we're joined to God, we focus on Him and we prosper in every way by Him. And I hope, folks, that your focus this Christmas season is on God's gift of peace through Jesus Christ. I hope that you can take a little time out of your busy schedules to quit worrying and rejoice, to pray and thank God for His Son, whom Isaiah calls the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. was sad yesterday as I was out in the mall. I don't know why I was there. It was a crazy thing to do, but I was. And it was sad to hear, as I saw probably a grandmother with a little girl tugging at her arm through one of the stores. And she was scolding the little girl, saying, "If you don't behave, there won't be any Christmas." Folks, that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart to hear that. And don't we hear it? Sit on the benches of the mall and listen. Listen to what's going on. If you don't be careful, there won't be any Christmas. If you don't be good, Santa Claus won't come. Folks, we are to rejoice at Christmas time. We are to constantly be focused on God and His great gift, our Good Shepherd, who leads us beside still waters and lays us down in green pastures. We're to rejoice that even though the Grinch in some way might steal your Christmas, he can't take away the gospel. He can't take away the joy of knowing Christ in your heart. Rejoice because Jesus was born, and I'm thankful that God gave him to me. Peace on earth and mercy mild. Why? Because God and sinners are reconciled.